You ever eaten asparagus?
What?
Asparagus. Have you ever eaten it? We are digging up an asparagus bed. It's beneath our very feet.
I thought it was a vegetable patch.
It is a vegetable patch, but this is the asparagus bed part of it.
Oh. I've got mud on my boots.
Well, come on. Let's get it finished. Let's get him buried.
In the first glimmer of Rickmansworth dawn, they buried Nigel. Hastily covered his body, went indoors for coffee and a hearty breakfast. I was brought forth from my potting shed, tied roughly, thrown into the back of their van and covered in musty sacking. We travelled lurching through rush hour traffic, my skin rubbed raw against bare metal. At last, we stopped. I was hoisted up, frog-marched across the concrete floor of an underground car park, bundled into a waiting lift.
Which floor is it?
What?
Which floor do we want in the lift?
You set this deal up.
I forgot. There was the printout with our instructions in.
Lucky I kept a copy.
It's the 23rd.
Pardon?
The 23rd floor. If we're going to see Julian Knight.
You're not meant to know that.
I guessed.
He's intelligent, this one.
He's trouble.
Be a pity when we got to top him. Getting quite attached to his spectacles and ball patch. Here we are, 23rd floor.
I was thrown into a waiting room. It had no bars on the windows. Had no windows. I'd been consigned to a broom closet. After a time, I was hauled out, taken to a washroom. My hair combed, my clothes brushed down. Apparently, Julian Knight liked his visitors neat and tidy.
So, this is how the common airline passenger travels.
Well, it makes a change from the company jet, eh, Sir Jack?
But it has no dignity, cleanness. We were herded aboard like pigs in a sty, crammed in these seats, assaulted from all sides with this wretched dance room music and the food.
Sir Jack?
Taste it. Sticks in my throat. The meat tastes like plastic vomited out of an oil refinery, knitted together in indigestible lumps. Mm.
It isn't very good. What happened, Sir Jack?
This damned plastic knife has broken off in my hand. Spurty gravy all over my suit. How much longer are we going to be trapped in this flying kettle truck?
5 hours, Sir Jack, until we land at Heathrow.
Well, I want to know. The first thing I want to know when we land at Heathrow is who, what company produced this shoddy knife?
What company?
I'll buy it. As soon as we land, make sure it starts producing decent plastic knives.
Oh.
What, Gray? What is it?
I think you already own the company, Sir Jack.
The swimming pool, the champagne and the caviar ordered their exact temperature guide.
Exact, Mr. Julian. I checked. Elbow, cheek and finger.
The food and hors d'oeuvres have all been laid out.
Like a Buckingham Palace flower bed.
And my favourite orchids are scenting every room.
As you desired.
After I have dealt with Sir Jack Watson, shown him the evidence I have uncovered about his activities, after he has retired in his helicopter, baffled, defeated, I shall remove my dressing gown, and you and I shall wash away our troubles splashing in the swimming pool.
I'll look forward to that.
Oh, kite. Hook nose, body lean and knowing as a gypsy dog. That wonderful evasive dishonesty about your eyes. I shall eat you for supper. I'm going to win this, kite. By this evening, I shall make a great empire. Do you understand that? Of course you do.
Smith's arrived.
Smith?
That journalist.
Oh, yes. What time did I pencil in for seeing him?
1 o'clock, 2 hours before Watson touches down.
Oh, I'm feeling so good, kite. Like Eve in Eden with the world open to me and the serpent just slithering down through the branches. There is an infinity of possibilities opening before me. Where's the cocaine?
Colombian or Peruvian, Mr. Julian?
Both. Blend them, mince them up scrupulously so that they flow into my lungs like angel dust. I'm winning, kite. Today, everything comes together. Get him in here. Get that runtish little journalist Smith in here immediately.
Come here.
Look, don't worry about his hair now.
It's not right. Stand still.
It's adequate. His bald patch is covered.
Thank you. And don't answer him back in there, right? He's Mr. Knight and you're respectful. Or bones start to crunch.
Eric, our friend here has a sharp and wary look to his eye. He knows his two times table.
Come in!
Mr. Knight, sir, we've brought you Smith, the journalist.
Good, good, good. Bring him in.
Come on, you.
You haven't changed much, Andrew, since Cambridge. Your shoulders are slightly drooped. A mistrustful look in your eye. But at least you've still got your hair. You two may leave us.
Mr. Knight.
Mr. Knight, sir.
Welcome to the headquarters of Natural International. It's Nerve Center. My penthouse.
What do you want with me?
I would like to chat. Yes, talk about the old days. Our old days together at Cambridge. Remember?
I would like to know what I'm doing here.
I remember you were the brilliant one. A scholarship lad from a state school. Oh, and you were arrogant. As lower class scholars could afford to be in those days. And you were going to take over the whole world. Remember? The 1960s. Revolution. Doesn't look quite so rosy these days, does it? Public schools, flogging, the cultivation of the individual and his needs have something to be said for them.
I need something to eat, if you don't mind. I haven't eaten for over 24 hours.
It's a mistake bringing you up here. I should have had you killed straight off. But today I can afford mistakes. Afford to indulge myself.
Glass of water, perhaps?
Shut up! Now, let's remember. A hot summer's day at Cambridge. Probably just before we finally came down. Blinding sunlight. And I remember looking out of my darkened window, out onto the quadrangle, the grass lawn, and seeing it covered with you and your supporters, your filth, your unshaved, uncleaned hangdog, slovenliness, yowling your demands, like garbage tipped from a bin, demanding this or that with raised fists and trite slogans. Did you ever look at yourselves?
We've all grown up since then.
Oh, really? I've always thought ecology and infantile yearnings for total union with the maternal breast are one and the same. We live in the real world, Smith, where eggs and skulls get broken.
What do you want from me?
While you march down your sunlit highways of self-righteousness and ego exhibition, I trod a different path. lurked in shadow, hid in alleyway, learnt the fierce joy of the fist in the night, the blow from behind, tasted fear, the darker fruits. From running the college drug ring, I took over the university scene. Well, at that stage, there wasn't really much to take over. A short, wheezy man in a grey suit sitting in the Wimpy Bar once a week and furtively handing out his samples from a suitcase. I followed him back to London to an unpretty little dark alleyway in Soho where he was due to meet an unsavoury Maltese gentleman. I hit him, somewhat terminally, and met the Maltese gentleman myself. With a proposition. Can you imagine it? A product of one of our finest public schools, clad in studs and black leather, facing a Maltese with a severe sweat problem and too many gold teeth. He was soon won over to my way of thinking, became my partner for a time. What degree did you get at Cambridge, Smith?
I didn't. I thought other things were more important.
Oh, and you were such a clever little scholarship boy, too. Double first me in law and business. Can you imagine that combination? Legal expertise, a head for figures and psychotic violence, hitting the sleepy peace and love London drug scene of the late 60s. In 6 months, my foot was on its neck. In another 6 months, I controlled the country. Just in time to cash in on all your political fallouts. No revolution today, man, so let's light up a joint. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Oh, the money came pouring in, believe me. But what to do with it all? Go legitimate. Yeah, I diversified into rock, health foods, radical magazines, all the fads and fantasies of your febrile, gutless generation. The only revolution was in my turnover. But what to do with it all as it came pouring in? I bought newspapers, airlines, electronics. The stock exchange is the most violent place. Takeovers, leveraged buyouts, porcupine provisions, deguts and freeze-outs and bootstrap ripping. It feeds me with the violence I love. You get in there, stand up, beat your chest, and take on all comers. Yeah. Oh, honest, it's true. That's all it is. And finally, along came heroin with its handmaiden unemployment. Never has so much been made by so few for so little. And Blackjack, the primeval Blackjack Watson, hoves over the horizon, lumbers forth from darkest Africa to trying to take over my company. The man is 50 years behind the times. His organization is prehistoric. Out there in Tambia, he's read in last year's Financial Times that takeovers are all the rage. Dinosaur devoureth dinosaur. And he makes a gulp for natural. Which is exactly what I want. You haven't asked me why I wanted his takeover bid. I said, you haven't asked me.
Why did you want his takeover bid?
Oh, show a little more enthusiasm, Smith. Keenness. You're an investigative journalist, remember? I wanted this bid because once two great companies are locked into a takeover battle, then he who would take over becomes equally as vulnerable to take over himself. He is exposed, open to infiltration. The hunter becomes the hunted. For all his backwardness, AFCO has great uses. Well-developed, legitimate trade links with corrupt third-world countries. Colonel Saheed, Tambia, where the heroin poppy is grown in abundance. A perfect cover for smuggling. Now, he thought he was taking us over. Instead, we were subverting his organization, using his men here and in Africa. That hijacked security van wasn't carrying gold. It wasn't carrying uranium. It was carrying heroin.
It was crawling with radioactivity.
Creative disinformation.
The van was sprinkled with a little harmless radium with a half-life of 30 minutes, just enough time for you to pick it up on your Geiger counter. The same at the docks. I've watched you from a distance ever since we came down from Cambridge, wondering how I might one day abuse you. You wrote a most convincing article. Bring it in, Anne!
Here it is, Julian.
Anne? I believe you two already know each other.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Andy. You did rather open yourself to being used, though.
Come and sit down by me.
Thank you, Julian.
A sniff of cocaine?
Thank you, but it interferes with my sinuses.
Excuse me just a moment.
I suppose my most convincing article never got posted.
On the contrary, it got posted as soon as you left for Rickmansworth.
I ensured every editor in Fleet Street, Wapping, and all points east got a hand-delivered copy.
Well, I don't suppose they'll take any notice of it.
Andy, you underestimate the reputation you have as a journalist in nuclear matters.
Not that great.
Besides, the discovery of your dead body this evening will leave everyone with no option but to print your story. Black Jack might be able to go round murdering anyone he pleases in Africa, but in England, people draw the line, even with journalists. The climate is hardly favourable to foreign companies taking over English ones. Black Jack is finished. AFCO's value on the stock exchange will collapse. In 48 hours, I will be able to step in and pick up its remains for a pittance. And your journalistic reputation will be assured, posthumously.
On an untrue story.
No one, unfortunately, can have everything.
You haven't done badly.
I know.
She's almost flawless.
The wildebeest?
Not a hair on her body out of place. Almost as though she lay down, fell asleep, and never woke up. Thank God we brought her in the company's jet and didn't stick her in that awful Jumbo's cargo hold.
The helicopter's ready.
She's less security to the sled.
Yes.
Then, Gray, we are ready. Two rough, unshaven African backwoodsmen about to storm the citadels of British business. Come on, let's go.
Got it? You understand what we got to do?
But Stanley, it's not written down on the computer printout.
I know, that's the whole point.
But
what was the final instruction on a printout? Wait until a person approaches you, identifies themselves by a certain code, and then do precisely what they tell you.
Yeah.
That person has approached us, yes or no?
Yeah.
So, we must do what we're told.
But here, in this penthouse, killing him in front of 6 or 7 witnesses?
Look, do everything I do, right? Except think. The slightest thought from you now might prove fatal to us both. The helicopter. Brace yourself. Mr. Knight, sir, the helicopter is approaching.
Excellent. Perhaps you two would like to accompany the lady, Mr. Smith, and myself out into the roof to welcome our distinguished visitor.
Of course, Mr. Knight, sir. Come on, Rogers.
Oh, yeah, right.
The two large men slid open the plate glass doors that opened onto the swimming pool and helipad. Julian passed through, followed by me and Anne. He stopped, dressing gown flapping in the propeller wash, to relish the helicopter's final approach. But the two men didn't. Each slipped an arm under his, lifted him clean, his feet bicycling in empty air, and carried him swift and gobbling, protesting and heaving, to the swimming pool, in a twinkling, upending him, plunging his head and chest deep in the water. The helicopter, meanwhile, swoops in, lands, its sleds mysteriously draped with a wildebeest. Without even a glance at his now feebly kicking opponent, Black Jack, trim, determined, vaults down from the helicopter and strides matter-of-factly into the penthouse. Phew. So this is how big business operates. I'd often wondered. Anne drops him a feudal half-curtsy. A young, upwardly mobile, downwardly genuflecting professional. Kite starts to mop the gravy stain off his trousers.
Shut those damn doors, will you? England, as usual, is freezing.
You had a good flight, Sir Jack.
my God, look at this place. Black leather and cheap chintz. I've seen Zanzibar brothels decorated with better taste.
I'll get the interior designers in immediately.
Would you like your usual scotch, Sir Jackson?
Thank you, my good and faithful kite. I can't stay too long here, though. Who's this?
Oh, our journalist, Andrew Smith.
I've been following your story, young man. You've done a very good job.
Whose job?
Sit down, Andy.
That article I wrote, I suppose it never did get posted.
Quite right, Andrew.
Your drink, Sir Jack.
Thank you. Leave us, kite, if you please.
Yes, of course, Sir Jack. It's very nice to see you again, sir.
Yes, Mr. Smith. Your story was essentially true. We have been smuggling uranium into this country for a number of years, refining it for the use of Colonel Sahid. Only one detail was wrong.
Yes?
The government has been fully aware of what we have been doing from the start.
What?
Colonel Sahid occupies a strategic position in North Africa. He also sits on top of half the world's uranium. It is vital he remains Britain's friend, however quiet we have to keep about that friendship. A private, unofficial deal suited everyone.
Our government is supplying Colonel Sahid with nuclear weapons?
I didn't say that. I said he has been supplied with weapons-grade plutonium. Before it goes bang, however, it requires extremely sophisticated wiring, timing, and fusing mechanisms. Colonel Sahid is quite happy just padding down into his vaults and gawping through his plate glass at all that raw plutonium. Makes him feel like a real world leader.
But if it...
Excuse me, Sir Jack, that matter...
He's dead.
Floating face down in a swimming pool, unmarked as per instructions.
Drowned. Due to an unfortunate cocaine oversniff situation.
Newspaper boss in pool, drowning, tragedy.
That is what the pathologist will find. Yeah.
With a good and faithful kite grieving over his dead master. Oh, tidy up, Stanley. We're leaving in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Am I included in that we?
Of course. I have most definite plans for you.
What plans?
Oh, you'll find out.
Sir Jack, I should be going. I'm not coming with you on the helicopter. I should get as far away from here as quickly as possible.
I agree. We'll meet when things are more normal.
Goodbye, Andy.
Not even sorry?
Afraid not. I'll see myself out.
Scotch before we go.
With all this going for AFCO, why do you need Julian Knight's natural at all?
Oh, sound commercial reasons, of course. We live in uncertain times, Mr. Smith. There's no return in investing in industry or raw materials. They're too depressed. You can play the money market and the stock exchange with bits of paper, and after they crash, what are you left holding? More bits of paper. What commodity has consistently increased in value over the last 30 years, whatever the market conditions?
Heroin.
I'm good friends with Colonel Sahid. Large crops of opium poppy are grown in his country, while therefore potentially controlling large percentage of the production side. I have no retail outlets.
And Natural does.
It was rational to bring our two companies together. Julian Knight did not wish to play ball.
So you murdered him?
Oh, personal consideration should never hinder commercial ones. He was a most vain man. His organization easily infiltrated.
Yeah. And?
And others. When he started to conjure up grandiose plans to discredit me, I allowed him full rope. I ensured that any hard men he hired worked for me. Mercenaries I employ in Africa to keep friendly governments in place, who don't mind a bit of extra work rather than leave in England. He dreamed his dreams. I pulled the strings. We should be going. Bring it in now.
You want me to bring it in, Sir Jack?
Yes. I've arranged a little reunion for you, Mr. Smith.
My bike?
All oiled and polished and repaired.
Oh, my bike.
Time we were leaving for East Anglia.
I'll tell the pilots.
They'd restored my bike beautifully. Cared for it, tended it,
resurrected it in pristine white, so it purred and clicked contentedly beside me as I wheeled it out to the helipad. Sometimes the line between sanity and insanity is so thin it scarcely exists. They strapped her on a sled. I clambered aboard. In the setting sun, a helicopter rose grotesque into the London skies. A Claude Butler bicycle hanging from one sled, a slain wildebeest from the other. And as the office tower's roof fell away beneath us, spiraling slowly, I watched Julian Knight's body floating, turning gently in the swimming pool. We turned to the north and east. East Anglia.